Peter's moved on down to Asheville.
Hello, folks, and welcome to FS Ride Along. This will be Season 6, Episode 10, What's Your Route 2? And I'll be following up with previous episode, where I kind of talked about a simulation of the first flight I did as a passenger on an airliner, a Southwest Airlines flight from Sacramento, California, to Ontario, California, to visit my aunt and uncle in Southern California in the late 90s on what was probably a 737-300. At the time, due to the fact that we don't have a classic 737 for the P3D platform at this time, I ended up using the NGU 737-700 in the Southwest Canyon Blue livery, because that's what I prefer, to simulate that flight. Today, I am simulating what was another important milestone in my adventures as an airline passenger, and that is a Qantas 747-400 flight from Sydney, Australia, New South Wales, to Los Angeles, California. Now, back, I had the unique opportunity. I was part of my high school's choir, Chico High School, in, let's see, 2000, from 2000 to, no, from 99 till 2003 when I graduated. So all 4 years I was in high school, I was part of the a cappella choir at Chico High School. And one of the cool things we did was we went on a tour of Australia. It's a rather unique experience. I think most high school choirs don't do that sort of thing. It was something in my life that I had the privilege to experience. What we ended up doing was we flew on an American MD-80 series aircraft from SFO to LA, and then flew on a Qantas 747-400. This was before the ER came out, so it was a 747-400 straight up from Los Angeles to Melbourne in Victoria, Australia, which is a very long flight for a 747-400. I believe the 747-400's range is something like 7,200 miles. Last time I did the flight from memory, the route from Los Angeles to Melbourne on average works out to be just under 7,000 miles. So really on the higher end of the 747-400's range. And if you encounter strong headwinds, which is a westbound route, so you can encounter strong headwinds, you can end up needing to refuel in Sydney. And I remember, first, at the time, I had never ridden on a 747-400 before, never even seen a 747 before. So when I saw the airplane, I was aghast. It's just a huge, huge airplane, and it was the biggest airplane at the time, cleaning the skies, all that. So it absolutely blew me away, and the kangaroo on the tail of the Qantas livery of the 747-400 was so cool. So I, needless to say, because of that trip and because the airplane is just so awesome, I became a big fan of the 747, on that trip. And even in high school, after the trip, and I think maybe a little bit before the trip, Flight Simulator 2000 was the, sim at the time that I was using, having had it just come out, you know, sometime the year prior, because this was spring of 2001. So I was using default aircraft, heading select, because I didn't know about the nav button at the time. I was really that innocent and didn't know anything at the time. So I was using heading select to try and fly from Los Angeles to Australia, and in the simulator, Flight Sim 2000, in 2001 before our trip. But now, obviously, I know things a bit better. And as you can hear in the background, I am currently flying a 747-400 in the Qantas livery. Unfortunately, Qantas has retired all their 400s now, which is sad but understandable considering how much fuel it burns. Right now, I'm burning somewhere in the neighborhood of 24,000 pounds of fuel an hour. So, not light on the fuel burn, that's for sure. So, because of that trip, you know, we took an MD-80, American Airlines MD-80 series aircraft from San Francisco to Los Angeles, which, you know, San Francisco to Los Angeles, even though it was only my second trip on an airliner, I wasn't exactly impressed by that example of the American MD-80. I felt like it was falling apart. I haven't enjoyed the Mad Dog, I'll put it that way, as a passenger. So I was kind of leery and not very comfortable that flight. The next leg, however, the leg on the Qantas 747-400 from Los Angeles to Melbourne, was so cool. So cool. It was long, and this was before, this was 2001 before, you know, in-seat in-flight entertainment. So I was in the middle, one of those, you know, the dreaded kind of middle, row of seats there. It was economy, so 3-4-3. So I was in the middle four, you know, for a 14-15 hour flight. From Los Angeles to Melbourne, and, you know, I remember one of the movies they showed on board was What Women Want with Mel Gibson, and, I just remember, you know, it's, you know, 15 hours is a long flight, so this is as odd as I was by the airplane, you know, a bit of a long flight, so, you know, got a little restless, but I remember really being impressed by the airplane, and I had a really good, we did homestays, so we stayed in local people's, homes that invited us in, that, you know, we went to visit choirs at, Australian schools, so, I did a homestay in Melbourne that was actually absolutely spectacular, so I have really good memories of Melbourne. Didn't have quite the same experience in Canberra when we went through there, and Sydney when we went through there, but Melbourne was particularly memorable. So, one of my favorite routes to do in the sim, I don't have an absolute favorite route in the sim, but one of my favorite routes, is the 747-400. I usually use the 400, not the ER, even though the ER has that much more range and makes it a little bit easier to do, because the 400 was the aircraft at the time. I usually use the 400 model, when I fly from, LA to Melbourne, or in most cases I, go directly from San Francisco to Melbourne, but it's usually the 400. 787-9 obviously is what real world airlines use these days, and I'll use the -9. Fairly frequently, as well as the 777-200LR, though a 300ER can do the flight from both San Francisco to Melbourne and Los Angeles to Melbourne. Los Angeles to Melbourne being actually slightly longer. So yeah, the Qantas 747-400 that's a livery I really enjoy on the 747-400. It was my first trip on the 400. I remember us nervously joking, like, how does this stay in the air for so long? Do they do aerial refueling? You know, not knowing that, the fuel tanks on the 747-400 hold almost 400,000 pounds of fuel. So, you know, no idea how much fuel this thing carries. So today in the sim, I am simulating our trip back. On our trip to Australia, in the spring of 2001, note this was before 9/11, on our trip to Australia, we flew down to Melbourne from Los Angeles, and then we actually took a coach, or tour bus, in American vernacular, from Melbourne to Sydney via Canberra. So we didn't actually fly, back from Melbourne to Los Angeles. We took the, tour bus up to, Canberra, and then we took the tour bus up to, Sydney. And then from Sydney, we flew back to Los Angeles, and then from Los Angeles back on another MD-80 series, aircraft on American from LA to, San Francisco. So, so today, I've been doing, you know, I'm showing my addiction to the simulator lately, having at one point in the last couple of days flown, you know, granted I'm doing long haul, so obviously there's crew rest, but even with that, I flew 40 hours in a 48 hour period, so I've got a problem. I will readily admit that, but, nonetheless, I am currently doing, a 747-400 in the Qantas, 2018 Qantas livery from Sydney to, Los Angeles. I'm in the latter stages of the flight now with, 950 miles to go, estimating arrival 5:39 in the morning. And I'm projected to have 43,300 pounds of fuel, remaining on board when I land, and that's about 12,000 pounds above my reserve, 10% contingency. So I really enjoy doing this flight. In the past, couple days, I had 10 days of domestic flying, which has to be some sort of record for me. I was challenging myself to do as much domestic flying as I could for quite a while there. And I lasted 10 days before I got to Chicago, after having, spent, two legs, Atlanta to Miami, and then Miami to O'Hare, Chicago O'Hare, in the A320, I think, in both cases. And, I was battling weather the whole way, and it was really nasty, flying the FS Labs A320 series aircraft. And that thing is really sensitive to weather to such an extent that if the weather is even moderate, moderate or heavy, you know, if it's anything more than light turbulence, the autopilot will disconnect. So it's really, really important that as much as you can, you avoid severe weather in that airplane, and it was just impossible to avoid it on the leg from Atlanta to Miami, and then getting out of Miami again was a real mess. I made sure to hand fly, didn't even bother turning on the autopilot, because I knew it would just kick off again. So yeah, those were my last two domestic legs, and I found myself in Chicago and thinking to myself, well, 4 hours to, you know, the West Coast again, or going to Denver or going to Salt Lake. Those were the options I was thinking about. And I was like, you know, it's been a while since I've done an international flight. It's been a while since I've flown a 747. Why don't I do an international flight and, take the 747-8. I ended up taking it from O'Hare to Frankfurt, and that landing was a beauty. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 feet a minute, as I recall, pretty close to 1G. The only issue was my pitch was high, and I was a little bit past, actually a decent ways past the touchdown zone. And my target parameters for landings in the sim, less than 400 feet a minute, less than 1.5 Gs in the touchdown zone and on speed. And rarely do I meet all those parameters. I will readily admit that I'm not a great, not great at hand flying. I specialize in knowing airplane systems, particularly Boeing systems. I'm still learning Airbus systems. So my hand flying skills are always something that I'm trying to work on. You know, trying to hand fly a little bit longer, trying to get back into GA every once in a while. You know, I've been in the airline world again after having a small time simulating GA, a couple months ago. I'm back in the bad habits of only doing airline flying and especially doing international airline flying the past couple months. But at any rate, my 747-8 flight from O'Hare to Frankfurt went really well. It was really enjoyable to fly the 747 again. Especially flying the 8 is something I don't do very often. I have less than 150 hours logged on Project Fly on the 747-8. Which for me is not a lot of time on the airplane. And then, having gotten to Frankfurt, I was looking at my options, and I saw an A330 leg from Frankfurt to Vancouver. And I thought to myself, it's been a long time since I've tried the Aerosoft A330. I don't have very many hours of it. In it, less than 50. So why don't I take that out for a spin? And I did just that. And, you know, as I may have mentioned recently, I'm becoming straight up more of an Airbus fan than I am a Boeing fan, especially with all the problems Boeing has had as of late. So I'm really, you know, I'm flying the 320 series from FS Labs a lot more. I thought, well, you know, if I'm, you know, as much as I've learned in the 320 series from FS Labs, you know, maybe it's time to revisit the Aerosoft A330, get some more hours in that. So that's what I did. It was good leg, for the most part from, Frankfurt to Vancouver. Got to fly over the, Hay River VOR, and then the Yellowknife VOR in Canada, in Newfoundland, or not Newfoundland, God, I'm sorry, Canadians, I'm really sorry, in the Northwest Territories, for those of you that don't know, Ice Pilots NWT was, shot with Buffalo Airways and the classic airliners that were still operating as of a couple years ago. I'm not sure if Buffalo Airways is still in operation or not, but it was one of those shows that I think app geeks really enjoyed, and airplanes historians in particular really enjoy, just because you see all those old aircraft in operation still doing bush flying in the Great White North. So it was cool flying over the, Yellowknife and Hay River VORs. I think I've flown over them before, but it was cool seeing that in the route. And I didn't purposely build the route that way. It was a random route generated by, Professional Flight Planner X. So I just went with it and noticed in the flight plan, hey, Hay River, hey, Yellowknife, I know those places. Cool. So, flying into Vancouver, the first landing in the A330 in some time. My first landing in the A330 was a crash, so anything that's not a crash is, you know, we're improving. A low standard, but a standard nonetheless. And I didn't crash, I'm happy to say. However, on both the landing, the first landing I did in the A330 into Vancouver, and then the subsequent landing I did in the A330 into Tokyo's Narita, I floated like mad. And the other thing I noticed was The airplane is kind of quirky in the way it turns. Even the autopilot will overshoot the turn and then correct it. Have to correct it several times when it makes a turn. So on final in particular, this is kind of a challenge when flying the Airsoft A330. And the other challenge is for me, and this is more of a piloting thing, I'm very certain. But the other challenge is, you know, the Airbus, you know, you leave it in the climb detent, and tell the airplane to manage the thrust, with the auto throttle. That's, you know, whenever the thrust lever is in the climb detent, it just sits there most of the flight, to keep the auto thrust engaged. And at a certain point above the runway at about 20 feet or so, 30 to 20 feet, I think it is, the airplane will say retard, indicating that you should slowly take the thrust lever out of the climb detent and retard it to idle for the landing while you're flaring. So getting that to work right in the simulator has, up to this point, always been a challenge. I think it's a challenge for everybody to get that right in the simulator. So I struggle with that with the FS Labs. I struggle with that with the Airsoft A320 series prior to that, and struggled to get that right, especially with the Airsoft A330. And it just floats and floats and floats, or the way I was flying it, it was floating and floating and floating. So there's about 8,200 feet to stop on runway, I think I was landing 8 left in Vancouver, British Columbia. And I came pretty close to running out of runway. I floated for so long. Should have done a go-around, but I did get it on the ground safely and stop safely. So, you know, it worked out, but the first landing, you know, didn't go as well as I would have liked. And Narita 16 right has like a 13,000 foot runway. And I was quite a good deal down the runway before I landed, but stopped fine on the next A330 leg I did. So, you know, other than the turning thing and other than, struggling a little bit with the throttle and power management, you know, just in the flare, in the last phase of the landing, or touchdown, that was a struggle for me with the Airsoft A330 and, you know, some little quirks in the airplane. I will say, relative to the last time I flew it, where I had lots of, crashes to desktops with the 330, where with any other add-on airplane, you know, if I flew the same route, I wasn't getting those crashes to desktops in the same places. So I will say that, I've flown it from Frankfurt to Vancouver, which is about a 10-hour flight, didn't crash to desktop during that flight. And I flew it from, Vancouver to Narita, which is, I think, a 9-hour flight, 9 hours, 15 minutes, something like that. And it didn't crash to desktop on that one either. So it seems more stable than it was before. So that's good. The other thing I noted, is, because of the challenges with not having, a thrust lever that's designed for an Airbus, more about that in a second, it's hard to find the detents, on the throttle. You don't really know where they are because they're, you know, you have a joystick with, that's not designed for an Airbus. In my case, I'm still using the Logitech Extreme 3D Pro, because I wanted my desk space back, so I put the, CH, clips yoke away for a little while. I'll go back to it eventually, but, I put it away for a little while to, give me some more desktop space for a little while because I'm working on other computer projects. But at any rate, not having a a thrust lever that's designed specifically for the Airbus, it presents some challenges. And one of those challenges is finding the flex area of the thrust lever, which flex is Airbus's terminology for a reduced thrust takeoff. So, you know, where you can, you reduce the thrust a little bit on takeoff to preserve the life of the engines. And obviously this isn't relevant in the simulator because they're simulated engines. But nonetheless, you know, to be realistic, you would use flex thrust on most takeoffs. What I've been doing in the Airbus, though, is I've just been using, you know, very unrealistic because it happens quite rarely in real life, but I've been using max takeoff power for my Airbus takeoffs in both the FS Labs 320 series and the A330 series from Airsoft. And even with Toga Power, the Airsoft A330-300 with Rolls-Royce engines, which is the only engine variant available from Airsoft, on that product, even with that, the takeoff roll and the acceleration is very, very sluggish. And I'm not sure if that's normal for the 330. I'm going to have to watch a 330 video and look at the takeoff roll, see how quickly it happens. But relative to every other commercial airliner I've flown in the sim, even the 747-400-8, it's really sluggish on the takeoff roll. So those are my comments on the Airsoft A330. I'm definitely running long here, so this is probably going to be the last podcast this month. But I do check out the revamped website. I'm not a WordPress expert, but I'm learning. Check it out at fsridealong.com. The website is brought to you by Simply Magpie. Check them out at simplymagpie.com. It's a virtual airline based in Newcastle in the UK, and Orbix just released new scenery for Newcastle, so that's especially cool. And it's also they also have a system, of flight tracking and, logging, is sort of in the similar vein as Project Fly. One of these times I'll try and get Gary on the podcast, Gary from, Simply Magpie, to talk about Simply Magpie and what he does and what he offers the community at no charge. So check him out, simplymagpie.com, I believe it is, or maybe .co.uk. I should know the address, but don't. So sorry about that, Gary, but thank you for the support, Simply Magpie, for supporting the website, giving us hosting space, very generous. My podcast hosting service, in case anybody's curious, is Libsyn. I do compress the episodes quite a bit, because I'm on a tight budget. That may be at times why the audio seems a little bit of lower quality than it could be. I compress it to 64 kilobits per second. So, in case anybody's wondering about that. While I'm doing shout outs here, I also want to do a shout out to, Carlene Pettit, friend of the podcast for a number of years now and personal friend of mine. She's a airline pilot for a major international airline pilot for, major U.S. carrier, on the 777-200LR, and it's been a while since, she's been out on the line, and I hear she's on reserve, so, congratulations, Carlene. Enjoy the flying right now. And I also want to say to all the many cabin crew members around the world and, flight crew members, and airline maintenance personnel and, ground support staff and mechanics, everybody out there that is facing furloughs and is losing work, I'm sorry that you're going through what you're going through right now. I know it's a vulnerable industry and it's subject to these sorts of things, but I feel for you guys. I'm sorry to see that happen, and I hope it turns around. I really, really do. I have I have mixed feelings about whether we should be, you know, the public at large, whether it's safe to be flying or not. I feel like it isn't, necessarily a good idea to get on an airplane, even with mass recirculated air and all that. But I do feel for those in the aviation industry that are hit hard by the pandemic, the financial straits that the airlines are going through, and the resulting furloughs and layoffs, or as the British would call it, redundancies. So I feel for you guys. I've been really enjoying and appreciating the aviation community on Twitter. I'm a fan of the Airline Pilot Guys show, and that's a great community. It's great to have Miami Rick back on that show again. Sorry that Captain Dana is off taking a hiatus for a little bit, but hopefully when he gets on the 737 fleet and is trained up and all that, we'll be back on that show. It's great to listen to that show, and being a fan of that show and knowing that there may be some people that are in the Airline Pilot Guy community that listen to this. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan of the Mad Dog. It is notable to see the Mad Dog retire, just as it is notable to see the 747-400 retire and the production wrapping up on the 747-8. That it, you know, sad to see both the Mad Dog and the 747 go. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Mad Dog. I will say though, I think it's interesting that TFDI, a flight sim add-on developer for the P3D FSX community side of things. I do think it's interesting that they focus their efforts on former McDonnell Douglas products. First doing the 717, which is an MD-95 that Boeing just relabeled. Now working on the MD-11. It'll be interesting to see the MD-11. PMDG did the MD-11 a number of years ago, never really flew it. Wasn't an aircraft that I readily understood or was particularly interested in. I've been a Boeing fanboy for years, so that is what it is. Now I'm becoming more of an Airbus fanboy, but it is interesting to see the 717 and the MD-11 tackled. Even though I wasn't a fan of the Mad Dog as a passenger, I do think it's an interesting aircraft. It has interesting systems. You know, having flown the 737 and the 747, 757, 767, you know, all the Boeings for a long, long time, I am looking for a challenge and something a little bit new and different, which is why I started doing the Airbus thing over the past year or so. I'm thinking, I'm doing Sydney to Los Angeles, of course, right now as we speak. But I'm thinking, you know, to complete the simulation of, my trip back from Australia in 2001, I'm gonna have to do another leg from, Los Angeles up to San Francisco. And I'm thinking I'm gonna do that in the 717 possibly. It's the closest I have to the MD-82, which was probably what American used in 2001. Maybe it was an MD-88 or something similar, but I'm thinking about trying the 717. I can't remember how to start the engines, though, so I'm going to have to look that up. So at any rate, I hope you've enjoyed What's Your Route 2. My best to airline employees out there right now, hang strong. My thanks to Carlene Pettit, my thanks to Simply Magpie, my thanks to you for listening. If you have feedback, please leave a comment on the new fsridealong.com or send me an email, nicnacjak@gmail.com, or leave a review in Google or Apple. And please be kind, because there was a rather harsh review in Apple that almost put me to tears. So I'll be real honest about that. So anyway, I know it was a longer episode. Hopefully I have the space to put this episode out. Till next time, happy landings. Bye. So catch me if you can. I'm running hard without a compass or a plan. So catch me if you can. I'm on the box, my hat pulled down with a bottle in my bag. I'm on the boat against the rail with the wind against my back. I'm on the road, the open road, with my thumb outstretched from my hand. So catch me.